A rather familiar passage. A passage that, sadly, we mostly hear just either as a side reading on Sunday mornings or at funerals. Well, I think that this particular psalm has a lot more meaning to all of us in our daily life. And so I wanted to take a look at it this morning. And I also, so that we can hear it maybe in a little different way, I'm going to read a little different version than you typically hear from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Hear God's word from the 23rd Psalm. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. One of the greatest influences in my life from a very early age was my great aunt Jeanette and Uncle Albert. Aunt Jeanette was the sister of my grandmother, Joycey, who I was named after. And amazingly, they were missionaries over in Thailand, what was then known as Siam, for some 42 years. They went over there in 1909, and their kids were born there, and it was just a powerful time of life for them. And I can remember, after they were done, when they came to visit, the stories that would tell. One of them being that they were over there when World War II hit, and the Japanese began pulling people and setting up the concentration camps. Many of you have heard the Bridge Over River Kwai. Well, my great aunt and uncle were in a concentration camp outside of Bangkok that was very near that river. And one of the stories that really stuck with me from a very early age was them telling about that experience in that concentration camp and how the thing that made the difference, they kept returning to the scriptures. One of them being Paul, who was talking about in Philippians, where he wrote, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." And I can remember, even as a little child, thinking, I want to know that God. I want to have the kind of faith and strength in life that no matter what happens, that I can weather it. And not only weather it, but that I can be content. You see, at that young, early age, I had already been through a lot of serious and scary situations. I grew up very early. And one of the comforts that I had was at an early age, we kids memorized, as so many kids at that time did, the Lord's Prayer and also the 23rd Psalm. And so when I needed that moment and whatever hit through the years, I've continued to turn to the 23rd Psalm as a source and a reminder of the one who is the source of my contentment, the one who is a source of all strength. Well, this last week, I had a conversation with my mom, and she was sharing with me that she had found new pictures that she didn't even remember of my aunt and uncle in Siam. And it occurred to me, gee, I wonder if there's anything online about them. I'd never thought to look. So I started Googling around, and amazingly, I find tons of information that were written by a graduate of Princeton Seminary from 1927. And he and his wife felt called to mission work, and they went over to where else? To Bangkok, Siam. And who greets them at the boat but my Uncle Albert? And Uncle Albert and Aunt Jeanette welcomed them into their home, where they stayed for a while until they could get settled into a place themselves, which happened to be their new place was right nearby, and they were neighbors. And they were both great storytellers, and their son in later years had taken oral diaries. He had recorded them over a period of years. And not only recorded, but then transcribed those stories. So they're out there and available. And I was able to go through and find all these stories, stories that I had heard and known as a child growing up, of their son Jimmy, who had fallen out of a tree at 10 years old and had broken his arm and had to have it amputated, of the difficult birth of their daughter JJ, who is still alive, and later the convulsions, and how Margaret, this woman missionary, had actually saved my cousin JJ's life, knowing that when a child has convulsions, you need to put them in hot water, as hot as they can stand. So I'm sitting here and I'm reading all these pages that are telling me about that experience in Siam in a way I never could. I'm hearing their voices talking about my great aunt and uncle. And I'm stunned and amazed, even as I'm reminded yet again of the amazing ways that God works in our lives. And also by the amazing ways he connects each of us. The way that the story is shared, the way that the story is told, the way that we're reminded over and over how connected we are. Now sometimes we get thrown off a little bit. Like some of you may have heard the story of the man who grows this deep, deep faith in God, and he knows that God can save him from anything. And so this terrible flood comes through, and he ends up, it keeps rising and rising, and the next thing you know, he's on the roof of his house, and the water's still rising. And in the process, there are three boats that come by, each one offering to take him in, and each time he says, oh no, God's going to save me, no worries. Finally, a helicopter comes, and they are dropping down a ladder, says, no worries, God's going to save me. You know the story. And of course, he drowns. He's in heaven. He's seeing God. And what's his question? He's asking, why didn't you save me? And what's God's answer? I sent you three boats and a helicopter. Like that man, unfortunately, we're not always paying attention. We're not always paying attention to the help that he provides all around us. We can be in fear, we can be threatened, we can go through these things expecting the worst, forgetting that if we really trust, it also means keeping our eyes and ears open to the ways that God may be trying to help us. There's another thing that we're reminded of in this passage and in other teachings, and that is the fact that life is not always going to be easy. This passage talks about being in the valley of death. It talks about being in the presence of enemies. It talks about challenges that we face, maybe in a broad way, but it still reminds us, even as it reminds us, that God is there alongside in every situation that occurs. One of the most profound times that I've shared and will continue to share is when I was going through that first cancer with breast cancer, and the worst night of all, and just having that sense of God's presence. And I'd get through those nights saying the psalm over and over and over. Maybe some of you have gotten through your own rough periods with that. But it gave me peace of mind, and enough so that even if God, and I had in that moment one night, that image of God coming to me and saying, okay, Joycey, you say the word, this never happened. We turn back the clock. Am I saying no? Because I was seeing all these amazing ways that not only that God was working in my life and growing me and strengthening me and giving me the capacity for contentment, even in that situation, but also how he was using me, like the three boats in the helicopter, to find ways to help other people. Whether it was doctors that I was seeing, whether it was other patients, whether it was families of those who had cancers in their midst. All those things that could not have happened otherwise. I want to close with a final story. There was a psychiatrist by the name of Rachel Naomi Remen, and her job is working with people who are struggling with cancer, trying to help, especially when they've gone through very life-changing parts and that are just in pain and dealing with anger and other issues. And she had this one young man in particular who was full of rage. He was diagnosed with a cancer in his leg, and within a matter of months, the leg had to be amputated. And he was trying to figure out, he'd gone from being active in sports, you know, being this handsome guy that attracted all these good-looking women, just living the high life, to all of a sudden being reduced to the state that he just could not even deal with. So one of the things that she had him do in a session was she asked him to draw a picture of his body in his new state. He took the crayons and he drew this sort of a rough-looking picture of a vase. And then he took this black crayon and he proceeded to draw this really big crack in the vase. And you could feel his anger as he scribbled back and forth and back and forth, making this crack. That was how he saw himself in that. Well, she took the picture, she folded it, she saved it. Eventually, his situation improved, and he was encouraged to try to help others who were struggling with cancer. And funny thing was that the more he did that, the more he himself felt that he had healed. Then there came this time when he was actually asked to go in and see a young woman whose whole family had been hit drastically by breast cancer. It's like family member after family member, aunts, mother, sister, all one after another, many of them losing their life to it. So she made the decision, as some others recently have, to have both of her breasts removed in hopes of preventing it. Her sister was going through chemo at the time, and she just felt like life was over for her too, that there was no hope. She was in an extremely bad state of depression. So this young man was sent in to try to encourage her. But the funny thing is, he goes in and her eyes are firmly shut. She doesn't want any of it. She doesn't want to hear a word he has to say. She is just unreachable. And he's doing everything that he can do. He's telling jokes. He even gets angry with her. You know, the full spectrum. Finally, when he can't get a response, he unfastens his prosthetic leg and throws it on the floor. That startles her. And her eyes open. And when her eyes open, he takes that as a sign, a good sign. And so he starts being really silly. She's got music playing on her radio. So he starts hopping around on one leg, dancing to the music. And finally, she can't help but laugh as she's watching him. Here's this one-legged guy, and he's going to this much trouble to try to encourage her. And she finally says, "Well, fella, if you can dance, I guess I can sing." And somehow, it's a turning point for her. Happy ending, too, in that they became good friends. They actually even eventually got married. How great is that? But the bigger point in all of this is the fact that each of us, part of why we go through our difficult times is not just for ourselves and for our own learning, but because God is using each of us in our lives. Those tough things teach us profound, deep, important lessons. And we are then used to help others find those same answers in those same lessons. And the other story too, the psychiatrist who had saved that drawing. She showed it to him. She asked him if he remembered it. And he took it in his hands and he looked at it for some time and he said, "You know, I'm not really finished." He took the basket of crayons, and from that he pulled a bright yellow crayon, and then he began drawing these thick yellow lines radiating out from the crack, out to the very edges of the paper, and he smiled. He put his finger in the crack, and he looked at her, and he says, "This crack, this is where the light comes through. This is where the light comes through. Here's a given. Along with taxes and death, each of us will have challenges in our lives. Each of us will have difficulties. But the wonderful news is our shepherd never leaves our side. And those cracks, if we let them, will be turned into light." Let us pray. Almighty God, at times life can seem overwhelming. The things that we have to deal with can be unreal. And yet, you are there with us every step of the way. Let us never forget it. Let us take courage from it and find contentment no matter what the circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.